Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and a lot about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. On the phone, we have Michael calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Michael, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am blessed beyond belief. How can I help you?
So I am a recent college graduate, and I just recently got a job. And so the main thing is, in our job, we are doing a retirement plan, and they match for every dollar I put in, 50 cents, up to the first 6% I do. So I put in 6%, they put in 3%. So I understand I should do that. But beyond that, I don't really know what to do as far as, should I do a Roth IRA, should I do a 401k, what's the better deal, especially being, for my age, 22 years old. So I just need some help with figuring out what I should do beyond that 6% that I'm putting in.
Well, you said you just graduated. Where'd you graduate from?
NC State University.
Okay. Congratulations. Wolfpack.
Yep.
Now, how much debt did you graduate with?
No debt. I am debt free.
Congratulations. There's a real congratulations right there. You've just proven that it can be done. How in the world did you do it?
Just came in with a little bit of debt my freshman year. Student loans, not really realizing kind of what Dave Ramsey and y'all believe.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that I just wanted to help my parents out. And so I became an RA, and I did that for 3 years. So that helped pay for housing and food and different things along those lines, and just focused on studying and paid off that student loan, even though my parents said they would. And I just went ahead and got out of the way so I didn't have to worry about it, and then graduated debt-free.
I love it. Did you guys hear that? He worked during school and he survived. Holy cow. Who would have thought that was possible? That is awesome. Love it. Now, why is this retirement so important to you? It's important that you need to know why it's important to you, not us, not anyone else, but you.
It's helped me so far to kind of look to the future and to realize things are coming up. And for me, just to retire well, when I do get that age, there is a point where I might not be able to work anymore, so I'll need that extra money to help me out with whatever it may be in the future.
Yeah, well, that's great. And what about savings?
Approximately $3,000.
Okay, and your first job, what's the income going to be?
About $60,000.
All right, so you want to aim towards about $15,000 in a money market account, just sitting there in an account that you use as insurance, not an investment. It's going to get like something silly, like 0.2% interest, and it's going to drive you nuts. Don't let it drive you nuts.
Okay.
It's there for insurance, okay? And don't let it bother you. The Bible says that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. It doesn't mean we're hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean we're just keeping money on hand so that we think that we're important, or because we rely so much on money and we forget to rely on God. It's just so that we're being wise. We're being smart. When life throws us curveballs, we are wise and we can handle that. The 78% of Americans will have a major financial setback in any given 10-year period. So if you're not going through a major financial setback right now, put on your seatbelt. You've probably got one coming. So once your savings is in there, then you start going with the retirement. Okay. Then you start, which should happen pretty quickly for you. You should get that, saved up, your 3 months in there in your money market, then start talking about retirement. And yes, you're right. Do the max of your matching, which is probably a 401k. Then go to your Roth, which is $5,500 a year for you. If you get married, it's $11,000 for you as a couple. And when you go to do beyond that, okay, your Roth, and which you want to go to a financial advisor, don't go to a bank. Okay, think about what a bank does. Nothing against people that work at banks, but what are they really doing? They're taking your money and they're using it for them to make money on. There's nothing against that. They're just, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they're selling credit cards and they're selling all these different things. That's not who you want. A financial advisor who you're going to pay a small fee for and get big returns, not the other way around.
Yeah.
You think the bank is the one that's doing the money market where you're getting 0.25% mm-hmm. and they're getting probably 10, 15, 20% on it somewhere. So,
yeah.
So anyway, just think that you want to go to a financial advisor and not the bank. And of course, we have trustworthy advisors that we have here. They have a heart of a teacher. They're called our ELPs, our endorsed local providers. They are not it's not part of Ramsey Solutions, but we definitely endorse them. We filtered them, and they're amazing. So you can go to stewardship.com and find out more about that when it's time to think about retirement. Until then, you need to be thinking about savings.
Okay. And then the ELP, those would be financial advisors you'd recommend as far as retirement and kind of getting that off the ground.
For sure. They're called our endorsed local providers, and we have them for tax, we have them for insurance, we have them for real estate, and we also have them for investing.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
This email came in to chrisonair@stewardship.com. It says, I received a letter from a website called nationwidedebtdirect.com asking me to call them about my debt. I called them and was advised to use them because of the amounting credit card debt that I have. They said they could help me to settle that debt for less, and I would pay much less than what I've been paying. My name is Steven. I live in Los Angeles, California, and earn about $65,000 a year. I owe $19,600. I've already saved $1,000 in my emergency fund, and I owe nothing else other than this credit card debt. My question is this: should I go ahead and use these people to settle my debt for less and pay them less than what I'm currently paying? Here is my answer. Everything that they can do for you, this debt settlement company, you can do for yourself with no fees. You can do it. And so what you'd be actually doing is you'd be paying for a company to do something that you can do. So you'd, in a sense, be spending money that you don't have, which is why you got in debt in the first place. Do not let them touch your debt. They're only going to do things that you can do yourself. Get on the phone and try to settle these debts. You don't want to pay them fees to do that for you. You're not in a position to pay for this service. And so get on the phones and settle this yourself. If you're paying $1,200 a month in debt payments now, and they're offering you $800 a month now, you could do that. You could get that payment down from $1,200 to $800. You could do it on your own without paying any fees. So do it yourself. Proverbs 13:18 says, "He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored." We need to be disciplined people. And disciplined people means doing the hard work, getting after it, and doing a lot of this hard work ourselves. We're the ones that got ourselves into this mess, and we need to get ourselves out of this mess. Again, Stephen, you're not the only one in this boat. Many of us have been there or are currently there, and that's good advice for all of us. This email's from LaDonna. "I want to listen to your podcast while in my vehicle. The only way I have to do that is to load the podcast onto a thumb drive and load it into my radio. I'm not seeing a way to do that on your website. We do not receive your broadcast over the radio in Redmond, Oregon. Do you have a way to download the podcast to a disc? My best advice for you, LaDonna, is to stream it online straight from stewardship.com. Or you can download it on iTunes, but I'm not sure how to download it to a disc outside of what you would do on any audio file. All right, our next caller is Marie. She's calling in from Miami, Florida. Marie, how can I help you?
I am a single mom. I have a five-year-old daughter. I'm about $30,000 in debt, and I make about $30,000.
Okay.
And I don't have a car. I'm on baby step number two, and I'm trying to save for a car. How do I go about doing this? Do I just stick it out and, you know, wait the two more years it'll probably take for me to get out of this debt? Or, you know, is there some way I can try and save a little money and get any kind of car? You know, I don't even care if it's a used piece of junk. I need something.
Mm-hmm. What's transportation look like for you right now?
Bus, train, and walking.
And how inconvenient is that right now?
It's not that bad. My daughter has gotten to a point, she's five, my daughter's gotten to a point where now she asks other parents to give us a ride. And I keep telling her, don't do that, don't do that. So it's like the second I see somebody, I'm like, no, Let's keep walking. And now with the rainy season, it's going to start pouring on a daily basis here during the summer. That's the hard time. That's when it's like, really, you know, do I pay for a taxi to get home? I ask somebody, and I started paying someone to bring her home, but then they couldn't do it anymore. And then I did the same thing with somebody else. And again, they couldn't do it anymore. They moved, and it's just like, it's becoming ridiculous. It's like, I need something steady to where I get my daughter home and dry. I don't mind getting wet, but it's a problem when my five-year-old daughter is asking people for rides. And, you know, we're stuck in the rain waiting for the bus.
What are you currently doing for work?
I work at a hospital. I'm an administrative assistant.
Okay. And that's, what are the hours on that?
8 to 4:30.
The thing I see here, the opportunity I see here is another revenue stream. And that's not going out and working. That's trying to see if you can do something from the home. It doesn't even have to pay that tremendously well. Obviously, being a single mom with a young child, you're going to want this to be from the home. But something on the computer or something over the phone, something you can do right there where transportation is not needed. And that right there saves up your money. It's this extra, because I know I've lived in Miami, and I know what you're doing right now is just short of a miracle. I mean, Jesus is definitely, you're living in a part of town, in a part of the world that it's very difficult to survive on $30,000. And so I got to applaud you for that. But you just need this extra revenue stream. Let's say it's $20,000 a year. Let's say it's $12,000 a year. And you can get $3,000 in one quarter. So in 4 months, you'd have $3,000 for a semi-safe car to be able to commute in. Or if you can see, if you can shave your expenses down a little bit, I would be shocked if you could do it a lot. But maybe there is some room there where you can shave a little bit and start saving and putting money away. You've got to ask yourself, does this car give me the ability to generate more income? When you're thinking through baby step two and you're thinking through getting rid of all your consumer debt, you've got to ask yourself, if you're going to prioritize this car with cash, if you're going to prioritize it, then it's got to produce more wealth or more financial advantages so that you can pay off all of your debt quicker. If not, if it's not going to do that, then it's less of a priority because right now transportation is taken care of in a roundabout way. It's not the best way. But you've got to ask yourself, is it going to allow me to generate more income? Is it going to provide us to allow us to do some things that are going to lower expenses? But, you know, with the car, you know, now you're talking insurance and now you're talking gas money, you're talking oil, you're talking maintenance. So it might be wise just for a season to not have one for a little bit more. I know Miami's kind of, you can get around on transit pretty well in public transit. So it might just be, you know, waiting a little bit longer. But if you want to speed it up because you think you can generate more income and get rid of your debt faster, well, then I would do it. I'd get another revenue stream out of the house.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And I got to applaud. I mean, I've been there in Miami. I lived there for 5.5 years. And what you're doing is amazing. And you're doing a good job, Mom.
Thank you.
All right, Marie. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, our next caller is Charles, calling in from Augusta, Georgia. Charles, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I am fantastic. How can I help you?
Well, I'm a pastor at a United Methodist Church here in Augusta, and I have been getting a housing allowance and living in my own home that the bank owns some of it and I own some of it. and we're moving to another city, and of course they have a parsonage, and we were going to sell our home here, and in the course of that, we will have a fair amount of money. And my guess is that we would be there 5-6 years or whatever, and then we would move wherever next. And I was just trying to get some wise counsel as to what to do with that equity that we would get out of the house, how to invest it or that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for serving in the pastorate. That's huge. You know, the world needs you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I know we thank our military, you know, often, and we should, but I think we should thank our pastors too. And you guys carry a weight that nobody understands. And thank you for what you do. What city are you moving to?
Moving to Atlanta.
Okay. From Augusta?
From Augusta.
Okay. And similar cost of living, right?
Pretty similar. I mean, it's probably a little more expensive to live in Atlanta than Augusta.
Okay. And how much money are we talking about this equity?
If we sell it for what we're asking for, it'd be somewhere around $120,000.
All right. And have you ever heard of Financial Peace University?
Yes, I've taken Financial Peace University probably. I've done it twice, facilitated it twice.
Oh, good. Good.
We follow it pretty well.
Well, good. Well, I'd say that the $120,000, you need to give it all away.
I will consider that as some of the counsel I've received.
you'll put that in the circular file, right?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that true? We've heard that sometimes before, from the pulpit before, saying give it all away. And so we want to give some wisdom out there as well. Okay, so here's the deal. So if you've gone through Financial Peace University, let me quiz you a little bit. Do you remember the first few steps to Financial Peace University?
I do, and we about the only thing that we have kind of deviated from is that the only thing we owe other than the house is a car. Other than that, we've got the emergency fund fully funded. We've got investments moving toward retirement and all those things. So all of that's kind of in place. The only place where I have wandered like the prodigal son is I have a car note.
Well, I think we've come up with your first destination for some of those funds. So it looks like baby step one, $1,000 is done. Baby step two, that debt is done. So how much is that?
I think it's about $12,000.
Okay. That car is going to be so much nicer to drive. You're going to just love the smell of the leather that much more when it's paid for, when it's actually yours and not the bank's. And your emergency fund of 3 to 6 months is done. And so that puts you at four. You got to find out something to do with $108,000. And what's your current retirement look like? Where's your money and how much of it is there?
Right now we're running at moving toward about $750,000, and all of it's pretty much in mutual funds spread out over a variety of different kinds of mutual funds.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're in a good spot. How old are you?
I'm 60.
Well, very good. You've got a nice little nest egg starting there. That's good. I would just keep doing more of that. So your 108 needs to go more towards that. If you're planning on only being there 5 or 6 years, here's the only caveat. Is if you're going to go buy a home after this parsonage situation, you might need to keep it on hand so that you don't need a mortgage after this. The goal would be that you'd never have a mortgage again. And you can do that because you don't have this housing expense. So really from here on out, I would live off less than 80% of your income because you don't have a housing. So the 20% of your income that would normally go towards housing needs to go towards long-term savings.
Okay.
So in 5 or 6 years, you can put down one big boom, bunch of cash on a house and never have a mortgage again. So that's the only caveat. So if you wanted to keep that out and be okay, the fact that it didn't gain a whole lot, then you can do that or put it in some kind of 5-year instrument. Just know you're not going to get much out of it. After fees, you're going to get barely over inflation in a CD or something. We don't like CDs.
Yeah, I don't either.
But it would be better than a money market if you know you're not going to touch it for 5 years and you already have the emergency fund. But there's probably way better ways to put it in a 5-year, something for 5 years. But I would make sure you're in your new job for a good year before you make that decision. I would keep it out for a year. Make sure that you really are going to be there that long and that everything's smooth. There's good chemistry. I wouldn't put it away into anything for a good year.
Okay.
So that's a big move. You're 60, so you know what you like, and you've been around the block. And so if it's something less than what you're looking for and you're in a good financial position, you're not going to go to somewhere and stay there because you have to, because you don't. So yeah. If you don't like it in 3 months and it wasn't what they promised, then you very well could skedaddle. And so you want to make sure you've got that money and you got options. So I would wait a little while. Okay?
Okay. Well, being Methodist, if everything goes like it's supposed to, which it normally would, I am appointed for the next year.
Okay.
So usually, even if things go south or bad in appointments, you would normally stay there for 2 years at least before something drastic happened. But that is good counsel. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have options. You don't tie it all up. But the good news is you still have your 3 to 6 months on top of that. So you're going to have options regardless. But those mutual funds are long-term instruments. So I'm not real long-term for you, but I really don't want you having to go borrow money for a mortgage in 5 years.
Yeah.
I really don't want that.
Okay.
All right, Charles.
All right. Thank you so much.
This email comes in from Jason. He says, I'm from Phoenix. I enjoy listening to your podcast daily. My wife of 8 years and I have had separate finances. I grew up thinking they should be combined, but she has a different views. She's also a non-believer, and I pray one day that she may come to know the Lord. I'm trying to pay off debt while looking for another second job after losing my other job in January. Should I tithe? I don't expect her to understand the reason behind it, and she would probably say that you can't pay stuff while you are giving hundreds of dollars away a month. I currently go to church when I can make it and give $30 a month to a Family Life Radio and $30 a month to Intentional Living. Maybe I try to count this as my way of tithing. I'd like to tithe hoping that, from what I hear, God will reward you, hopefully, with her coming to know him or help with our marriage. I've also heard if you can't give 10%, try to start out with something like 1% or 2% and try to increase and work your way up to 10%. Without my second job, most months some things are waiting to get paid. Any suggestions or guidance would help. Thank you. Folks, this is just an example of why the Bible says that we're not to marry an unbeliever. He knows that that's going to be a very tough thing to navigate. It's going to be impossible for you to live out your faith while you have this kind of scenario. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about this. But, you know, my advice here would be combine finances as soon as possible. And yes, to tithe. I'd keep that second job. And then I would say anything that you tithe, because you know that that's going to drive her crazy, you match with doing something for her. Say, I don't want to take a step back in my faith with God. This is what God is telling me to do. And I realize that you don't have this in your life, but I thank you for respecting it, my religious beliefs and my relationship with Jesus. And to show you that I appreciate that I'm going to treat you with anything that I tithe. And so let's say you tithe $200 a month. Well, $200 a month, you're gonna take two jobs and you're going to treat her. And what's important to her? And treat her with $200 extra. And while you're doing all the other stuff, paying off the debt, it's all at the same time. If I'm just being authentic, that's what I would do. I mean, that's what I would do you don't read that in a book anywhere. That's not some kind of, financial principle 78.6. That's just in my heart what I would do. I wouldn't take a step back in my faith, and I wouldn't take a step back in my marriage. I would do both, and I would work around the clock to make it happen. But be very understanding of her differences. She can't help that she doesn't believe. She just doesn't believe. And so I would model for her what running after God 100 mile an hour looks like, knowing that your modeling is going to inspire her. And the bottom line is just compromise. Compromise somewhere where it's not going to compromise your faith. And she'll respect you for it, I promise. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage his blessings, His way, and for His glory. God bless you.